Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you? Rolling in hot like usual.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's the life of a mom, I think. Busy working nonstop.
That's me. And it looks like that's you too.
Yep. If you could see me right now, I've got my normal work computers up and then I've got my recording here. I've got my pen and paper.
Yes. This is probably the messiest my desk has been in years, but that's kind of the stage I'm in at the moment. Right. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes there's no getting around it.
Yeah. That's good. Well, I'm so excited to meet you today. I'm looking forward to just having an open conversation, which is great.
Yes. So I've told other people this before, but I'll tell you because I don't know if you've listened to my podcast before, but I don't edit anything because I feel like bringing that genuine, conversation and just kind of like, this is what I do. I just sit down and I chat. And if I fumble over my words or ask a stupid question, like, I'm not going to cut it out. So, right. Yeah.
I'm open to that. That's
good.
Yeah, that sounds good. And I think that it kind of helps people think about what they say before they say it. Kind of like you can't delete what you just sent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. Very true. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Of course. Okay. So I am a wife and a mother of five. And then I run my husband's medical practice. And then I also, and I'm sure this will come back into the story somewhere, but my husband and I started an app for, it's called the Family Core. And we run and manage that from home as well. So I work from home, which is such a blessing between managing, you know, the kids' schedule and my schedule, my husband's schedule. So I do that from home. So that's about it. People look at me and they're like, oh, you're a stay-at-home mom. And I'm like, well, I guess in a way I stay at home and I am a mom. So both of those things are true, but I also work, you know, two different jobs and then manage the house. So that's what I do. How about you?
Very similar to you, actually. So I'm in the medical field, but I work remote from home full time. And then, in addition to that, I have my podcast and all of everything that entails. And then, I am a bio mom to two, stepmom to four. So total of six kids. And military spouse.
You've got it all.
Yeah,
you've got it all. We had our oldest boy who was 25 was Navy and just got out of the Navy last April. My third daughter down was in a military training program because she had applied for the Air Force Academy. Did not make the cut this year. Doesn't mean that she won't go back and try later. She's very much a structured individual, but we're getting ready to launch her into her freshman year of college as well. And so I don't think I said what my mix was, but ours is kind of, well, I think everybody's situation is unique, but we're his, hers, and okay. So, but we fought in an 8-year extremely litigious battle for our middle daughters, which were my husband's biological children, but from the word go, they were just mine. So I've had them since they were 4 and 7. They've been in our life since they were 4 and 7, and they're just mine.
I hear you.
Yeah.
We've been fortunate enough. We haven't gone to court for anything other than, and it was all done outside of the actual courtroom, but we had a child support modification done a few years back. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, thank goodness, because an 8-year battle that's a long time.
It is long and strenuous and expensive and stressful. Yeah. And but the birth of our app came from that because our continuous questioning God, like, why are we doing this? Because we're seeing the courtroom for the same topics over and over again, and the same allegations, and the same, you know, it was so repetitious.
Right.
And so, you know, we asked over and over and over again, why are we doing this? And it was quiet. Like he was not responding. So I just thought, I mean, initially you always think, well, that's a punishment, right? Like God's not talking to you, so it's a punishment.
Right.
I'm feeling absent from that. And then one day I just had like a complete morning Holy Spirit moment. And he literally said, I was quiet because I needed you to pay attention, but this is why you went through every scenario so that you could turn around and help other families. So he said, you're going to make an app and it's going to fill the gap for the children so that what your children have gone through, that other children hopefully will find benefit from this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so go tell your husband that's what you're going to do. So I yelled for my husband and said, the Holy Spirit said, we're going to make an app. And he was like, go back and tell the Holy Spirit we're in medicine. like, yeah, no, not going to do that. Not going to, you know, so, you know, he kind of laughed it off a bit, but then after he had his coffee, he was like, maybe that's why he was silent. And maybe, you know, these were the answers why we had to go through every single aspect of the court and, you know, custody and visitation. And, you know, it was a horrific divorce to the point where the judge, we had gone through several judges and we ended up getting this female judge that was extremely stern. And she basically said, I've seen you in my career more than I've seen another family. And the next time I see you, you will never see the inside of the courtroom again. So she said, basically what I'm telling you is that once you walk out of here and I rule, and you've left this courtroom, you'll never come back in, because what you've done to yourself has basically eliminated yourself from future graduations and weddings of grandchildren and things like that, because you have made the last 8 years so difficult. And so when you walk out of the courtroom and they don't rule from the bench, you're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to lose those girls. And we've worked so hard to get them. And I want to raise them. I love them. Mm-hmm. And so we had to wait. So we waited several days because they have up to 45 days to rule. And so once they did rule and the decision was made, they were ours, and we had decision making, and they lived with us, and they had supervised visitation, and that is now over. But it was just a long, painful process. But I'm thankful. In retrospect, I'm thankful because it allowed us to create the app, and seeing and hearing from other families that have benefited from it, and the children that are doing better, and the mental health that has been kind of refreshed for not only the kids, but some of the parents, because I'm sure, as you know, we launched to military families first because we started to recognize how difficult it is for spouses, and suddenly you're parenting on your own, or, you know, you're parenting from afar, depending on which side, whether you're the military person or not. So mm-hmm. we launched to them first, and we did a prototype for a year, and then took all that information, went back to the drawing board, made it better, and then relaunched again and started bringing it to market the end of last year. So it's been such a benefit, and it's like childbirth, right? Like, you deliver children, like, it's so painful, but once it's over and you see the blessing, you're like, yeah, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah, you'd do it all over again.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I would do it. I would do it for my girls all over again. And then I would do it for these families that are starting to benefit, that were starting to see the ramifications of how the time and the effort is now what the blessing is, where you're seeing the grace. So it's been good. No complaints.
Yeah. So I want to talk about your kids a little bit, but I'm super intrigued on the app. So I definitely want to talk more about that.
Sure.
So when you met your husband, he had the 4 and 7 year old girls.
Yes.
And then, what did you have? And then you had an ours baby.
Yes, I had a 12-year-old boy and he had the 7 and 4-year-old girl. So when we blended, it was a 12-year-old boy, a 7-year-old girl, and a 4-year-old girl, and they blended seamlessly. I don't think I've ever heard or met another family that has had such a significant like occurrence in that way. Mm-hmm. But I think what we did was, when my husband and I started dating, it was extremely important that he made and built a relationship with my son, who was a male. He was 12. You know, mm-hmm. he's a preteen. He didn't like quote unquote need a dad because his dad was in his life always 50% of the time, but we parallel parented. Okay. So we parallel parented. What he did at his dad's was what he did at his dad's, and what he did here is what he did here. Obviously there's some level of, you know, just, I guess, parenting trust that, you know, you're going to return my kid in one piece and he's going to be happy, healthy, and safe. During his younger years, we parented a little bit more cross-woven. Like, we did parent-teacher conferences together, and we actually sat down at a meal once a week with him and parented that way, like had a meal, covered the week, said, you know, this is what went on, this is what we could do better, those types of things. But when he was about 6 is when that we stopped doing that. And it worked out fine. He's a well-rounded kid. You know, I think because of the foundation that he had here with my husband and I, and the foundation that he had at his father's house with his father and his stepmother, we just didn't see any problems with him. And good. The parallel parenting worked. And then my daughters, who at the time were 4 and 7, they very much thought, okay, this is something new. This isn't what we were used to. But in my husband's previous marriage, he worked a tremendous amount of hours. So, you know, being there and being the provider, but being the physician, there's a specific level of training that you have that takes you away from, you know, it's very good for the medical world, but it's not so good for your family, because you're gone a lot. So, mm-hmm. You know, the girls kind of had some level of, definitely not an absent dad because he's a phenomenal dad, but just absent partnership or parentship. And so, you know, I'm sure that she parented the way she saw fit, and the girls were very well-rounded at the time because they, you know, got to do a lot of activities, and, you know, that brings a lot of freedom so that you can, you know, enroll your kids in things, and they're always on the go, and they actually just took to the transition pretty well. But we ended up being in the custody battle that we were in due to mental health on the other side. So it spiraled out of control extremely fast. And so the girls really were seeking stability. And I'm a complete A-type driven individual that provided that for them, and mm-hmm. I'm very structured and lead a very like independent parenting style, teach them how to do it, have an expectation, set the expectation, and off we go. So they both are strong leaders, and so they kind of picked up on that quickly, and we were off to the races then. So it worked out well. And then the deeper we got into kind of litigation, they just started to get really tired of it, because then it became more of a game, you know, when you're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years into it. And it just became exhausting, not only for us, but for them. So when they were home, it was very comforting for them. We set a standard of church was the every Saturday event. So when they would transition back and forth, they knew they were going to church. They loved being there with their youth groups. They loved volunteering, that kind of thing. And so the blend kept them, we kept them well-rounded around church as a center point. And I think that led to more successful teen years as well, because we didn't have, knock on wood, we didn't have a lot of the problems. we set rules and boundaries, and we didn't have a lot of those problems just because we were consistent in what we did. And consistency is so important because these kids lead, blended kids lead a very inconsistent life because mm-hmm. they're always trying to transition back and forth between homes. So that was what they lived for quite some time. And then my husband and I decided that we were going to add ours babies. So we actually had two, and we had a female and then we had a male. So our genders are male, female, 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 male, and the boys okay. are at the end, and it kind of closes things up, and it connected the kids in a way that we never saw coming, because they're the two youngest ones that we put in that are the R's children. There's mm-hmm. they each have so many personality traits of the three older ones that it's so fun to watch them grow. And mm-hmm. they're their own people, but it was a nice way to kind of close up the puzzle piece that we always felt wasn't all together. But now that there's seven of us, it's together, if that makes sense. Yeah.
So my husband and I never had an R's baby, because when we met, we had a 13-year-old with my husband's first ex-wife. Five other between his second ex-wife and my ex-husband, those five ranged from 8 to 2 years old. So when we met, you know, we were just getting through the potty training and, you know, out of diapers completely, you know, and then we thought, well, by the time I get pregnant and have, and, you know, get finished with maternity leave, what younger too, the babies are going to be almost in kindergarten, and then that means that we're almost out of daycare. Like, so we decided to not have an R's baby, also because then I would have had to get like a bus, you know, for all of them. So
right yeah, you want to stay in a cool car.
yeah semi-cool car. So because I think it's probably good that I never had an R's baby, because it'd probably be my favorite. Just because, right. Like, I love my husband. We're both, you know, involved parents, good parents. You know, I think it's different. But I also wonder, like, if that would have brought our kids together, because they're close, but they bicker. And I know it's like normal kid stuff, because I did that with growing up, and now sure. he's like my best friend. So do you think that your stepdaughters and your son would have a different relationship if you didn't have the R's babies? Because you said they connected right away.
They did. They connected right away. And I think that, so yes and no. I'm going to play devil's advocate and do both. So if we did not add the R's babies and we were getting ready to be empty nesters, I don't think that the relationship that the three of them had could have gotten any stronger than it already is. The oddest thing, I think that's where God gave us our golden nugget, was the ability for those three to blend, just because we had so much turmoil everywhere else. They were like the spices in the oil and water. Like, they just, if I said to my son, if I said to the 12-year-old and the 7-year-old, okay, I can't handle your sister today, she's like really coming off the hinges. My 7-year-old has always had both of those two oldest ones have a very old soul. And mm-hmm. so the look that my 7-year-old would have given me in a circumstance like that would immediately get me honest. She's got such an honest, pure, like, you know, that it's all just like graceful intention. And then the 12-year-old, the boy would have, his response to that, if I would have said something, he would say, you know, well, mom, did you take an opportunity to look at it from her side? Maybe she's just very frustrated today, and that's why she's behaving the way that she is, and that's why you're getting the response out of her that you are, and that's why you're upset. And then all of a sudden, everything would be grounded. So it's almost like parenting with like co-pilots, because those two have always been very sound individuals, like very sound thinkers. And then our middle daughter, she's 18 now, but she, I don't know if you've ever looked into birth order or how they're placed in family order, whether they be blended or whether they're blended or not. She was born to be a middle child. She's an envelope pusher. She's a, you know, in certain areas, she's very meticulous, but other areas, it's like, she's the one that walks through the front door and kicks off her shoes, no matter where that they're at. You know, she just has a lot of middle kid tendencies. But, so at that point she was the baby, and that worked very well for her. Now she's a middle child and she maximizes that middle child experience. But I don't think that the three kids without the R's baby would have had a different relationship. And that was your primary question. So I don't think that there's a wrong or a right, whether you should, you know, in a blend have an R's baby or babies. Mm-hmm. It's all circumstantial, right? Like, you guys really thought it out. But the benefit is when you, like I know through your podcast and looking through your feed and things like that, your husband's first ex-wife and second ex-wife producing a child and having that child in your home, no matter what child you have in your home, you're going to have conflict in some way. And I think a lot of people look at stepchildren and say, well, they're not mine, so that's why they behave like that. If they were mine, they wouldn't behave like that, that type of thing. And I really don't think that that's a fair perspective. How you have to look at it is, he's half of your husband whom you love dearly. And mm-hmm. The funny thing is that there is an invisible cord around those children that you and I as parents or moms, are you from a divorced family?
Kind of. My parents divorced when I was old.
Right.
So I wasn't raised in a blended family, but I.
Right. Divorced, but not lived through it as a child. So
correct.
What I noticed is the three older ones, now that they're 25, 20, and 18, the second they turn 18, it's so odd, because the rope that has been put around them, not by choice, but mm-hmm. in my mind, it's like a visual. They have a rope tied around them, and then they're just kind of tossed back and forth from home to home. And we expect them not to behave inappropriately, but sometimes that happens. And the day they turn 18 and they have some sense of identity, that they have a choice in, I'm going to go to her house or I'm going to go to his house and I'm going to participate in what's going on. It's almost like that rope has been cut free, because now they have a little bit more of a mental choice in the mm-hmm. place that keeps them happy. And so I think the goal that people miss is they get so wrapped up in the raising or rearing of a child that's not yours, that they run that child off when it's time for them to make a decision, whether they want to be part of that home or they don't. And so intentionally, yeah, I mean, that's unintentional, I think, as a parent, but I think that that's the outcome, that you just want to produce an environment for those kids that you don't have to say anything bad about their mom or their dad. Mm-hmm. You just have to don't say anything at all.
Correct.
And love them for, you know, love on them for who they are, and that part of your spouse that you love, and create an environment that they're going to want to come back to. Because in the end, when you and I die, when you and I pass, I want my children to still get along, and I would like it that they still communicate or, you know, see each other or share their family experiences together, because that means that we've created a legacy and a generational love out of what the world puts a stigma on as a broken marriage, as a broken life. Like your kid was raised in a broken life, and I'd mm-hmm. like to nurture it so that they don't see themselves as broken really in society. Right.
Yeah, the broken home term is something that really ticks me off. Because nothing about my home is
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And if people can see it, you know, it's not broken. I mean, if people can see that our home functions just the way most families function, they just don't see mm-hmm. it that way because it's not traditional.
Right. Or they experienced it, and so they don't know what it's like.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. Something that I wanted to talk about when you were talking about like the other parents and all of that. So my oldest stepson, the one that my husband has with his first wife, mm-hmm. both my husband and I love her, like love, love, love. And so my oldest stepson, I've never had an issue with him, not once, because his mom and dad co-parent very well together. And then when I came along, she co-parented with me very well. So with him, like Jaden has always been different. He was 13 when I met him. So that, you know, puts its own little spin on as he was a little bit older and opposite sex, you know, like what interest sure. is a 13-year-old boy going to have with me?
Right.
But we had our own like way of bonding, and you know, his mom was supportive of his relationship with me because he said, you know, like her, she's great, you know, and that was the feedback he gave her. And you know, she was cool with that. She never you know, bad mouthed or anything.
Right.
What we struggled with is that my husband's second ex-wife and my mm-hmm. ex-husband badmouth us to the kids, sure. but we don't ever badmouth the other parents under any circumstance. So there have been a couple instances where we've had to, you know, bring up some hard truths, right?
Sure.
But that it just poisons their brains so much when, you know, their mom or dad who they love so much is speaking badly about, you know, their other parent who they also love so much. And it kind of like fogs their brain and confuses them. And that's what causes so much of the conflict, I believe, at least in my situation.
I would totally agree. I 100% agree with you, because I think mm-hmm. that when you badmouth the other parent, what you're saying to the child, the child doesn't hear what you're badmouthing the other parent about. What they're hearing mm-hmm. is, you don't like half of me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think that when kids hear that, all that does is puts a sense of distrust in what they're saying, because they're seeing good at one house and they're hearing bad at another, and yeah. they're not. What the other parent is trying to do is put doubt in the child's mind about their security at the other house. And no child ever wants to feel insecure about the place that they lay their head down to go to sleep. So right. you guys are doing a phenomenal job by not only clarifying when you need to, but not feeding into the retaliation, because your child only has, now that you're sharing children, they only have a certain percentage of time with you. Who wants to clutter that up with, you know, mistruths or negativity about, you're spending time discussing the other house? It's just counterintuitive.
Right. I agree. It's a waste of time, and I have better ways to spend my days.
Sure. Absolutely. I agree. So I agree with you 100% in that you guys are doing a good job by not feeding into the negativity. The kids today, when you and I were raised, because I think we're somewhere around the same age, we didn't have access to the level of social media that these kids have, or phone access, and how much bad everything just comes mm-hmm. into their life, is filtered into their life, is fed in front of their face. You and I weren't practicing lockdowns you know, we in school, we weren't doing the things that these kids are doing now.
Yeah. Yep. Different worlds, definitely.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay, so tell me about this app, because I want to know, you started it to help military families, but I want to know, like, about the app in general, and then what makes it so great or helpful for military families specifically?
Sure. So we launched to military families because we, when our son had left into the Navy, it was, unfortunately, he got sent to boot camp on my daughter's 10th birthday. And so that did not go over well. Prior to him leaving, he became a primary helping caretaker for our daughter. And so he got from May of when he graduated high school till March to be my number one, like, care helper while I work from home. And thank you. And so she became very close with him. And then he was also a very sound best friend for our oldest daughter, who was making a decision to not see her mom on the custodial ordered time frame. So it became, he was a crucial part of the house because his biological dad and his stepmom needed to move to Texas for work. So he became 100% a member of this household, and it gave the girls a very strong sense of security. Their brother was home. He was home. He was living here. He was the face he saw when they came in the door. You know, he just comforted them in a brotherly way that was great and became a solid foundation. So when he got sent to boot camp, and we had to explain to them, you're not going to talk to him for 8 weeks under no circumstances, but we're going to get through it and we're going to see him at the end. It became like a crying fest. We ended up with our youngest daughter. We ended up having a medical issue with her and the pediatrician. My husband and I were stumped, and my husband is the best physician I know on the planet. And we were both stumped. We were both like, what is wrong with her? Like, and we went to the pediatrician, and she said to us, okay, I see this problem all the time. What changed in her life? What has been a drastic change? And we're like, nothing, everything's still the same. And then my husband's like, oh my God, Bodhi's gone. Like that. And she kept saying, she was like 3 at the time, and she kept saying, I want my people back together. I want my people. I just want my people. Because in her mind, we are her people. And so she kept saying, I don't want to be away from my people. I want my people. And so we were just gathering around her like, we are your people. It's us. But we didn't, it never dawned on us that it was our military son that was out of the picture. And the pediatrician said she has no other way to control it except for changing something in her body. And that's what she's done. So so that was a stumbling. We thought it was just a hurdle, but we crossed it because then boot camp ended. So, but then we came up on we were blessed in the fact that he got sent to an academic setting so that he was able to come home for Christmas and he was able to come home for Thanksgiving and things like that. But then once he was deployed on his submarine, then we started to see again that repetitious cycle of like crying and I haven't talked to him and why hasn't he called home and, you know, those types of things. So when we decided that we were going to launch and we launched to military families, the perspective was that families that are the person that is deployed or away from their home could still be part of kind of daily activity by just looking at the app on their phone, because there is a daily activity, there's a just a minute by minute activity log, so that but they're not an active part at home, they can still see what's going on away from home. So whether somebody checks in or adds a doctor's appointment or a contact for a new friend at school or a task like feeding the dog, whatever it is, those things still come up on the activity feed. So although they can't communicate, they're still somewhat part of what is going on. And that way they can see what's going on at home. so they can see the regular, because our son would call home and be halfway around the world and just say, I'm going to close my eyes. Tell me what everybody's doing right now. Tell me exactly what you see in the house. And so I would say, you know, okay, your sister's coming out of her bedroom because, you know, she's wants to know what's for dinner and dad's out in the back, like explain it to him so that he could see home, which mm-hmm. I always thought was so, I mean, I, at first I thought it was strange, but then I'm like, this is what military families go through all the time.
Yeah.
And so by putting that feed in there, it was, we were intentional about it by adding an activity feed so that the person that is out, whether it's your, you know, your son is away at his mom's house, but there's activities being fed or he's checking in on his phone or he's adding an award that he got at school or he's inviting you to an event that everybody's invited to, whatever it is, you're still seeing those types of feeds, even though he's not with you, but you're still part of what's going on in his life so that you can communicate with him on what's going on. So you're still participating, if that makes sense.
Yeah, involved, even though, you know, you can't physically be involved. You're involved in the conversation and
correct
and feeling then, a part of it.
Sure. And then there's a geolocation check-in. We don't track people. We just, you have the opportunity to check in and allow your family to know where you're at. Obviously, like, you know, military can't be tracked all the time. So right. When you're in the app and you allow a check-in, that's when the check-in would come up, and we use Google Maps. So it's the same map that you would use in Google Maps, which was always refreshing. My husband and I were in Greece, and upon a check-in, we found out that our son was two islands above us in Greece. His sub had come up and he was able to make contact. And so that was kind of exciting to know you're not that far, but you're really far on the other side of the planet. And, you know, and he came up in the Mediterranean, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it's worldwide, which was kind of fun. My mother was just in Asia and checked in all of the little places that she went to in Asia and Vietnam and stuff like that. And so that's really cool to have it come up on the map. So geolocation check-in, and then there's a shared color-coded calendar. So each of your members of your family core, you assign them a specific color. And mm-hmm. when you look at the schedule, you can look at the schedule individually by that specific child, or you can look at the word all and it'll show everybody in their color categorization so that you can see a calendar with everybody on it. So like you're doing basically two different custody calendars along with yours and your husband's calendar. So to have all three of those in one place is priceless, because I was doing three calendars at one time as well, along with the work calendar. So each of the children have their own color. And when they add something to the calendar and invite you to it, then you can, once they tag you on it, you can see that event too, and it'll populate onto the one calendar. So you're managing everybody in one place, which is great. Or if like you and your husband put a date night on, you don't, you only tag you and your only you see that date night, not anybody from anywhere else or the other kids, so that, you know, the other parent isn't saying, oh, I see your dad is going on a date, and then it'd be a problem for the children. You're just tagging your husband, and only you and your husband see it as a populated event. So you can still manage your personal calendar without anybody else from the other family seeing it, which is a benefit.
Yes.
So we came up with the color-coded calendar, the geolocation check-in, the secure document storage is so that I don't know how many times my son would call home and say, Mom, military wants, you know, they need to see my physical social security card. I need the document from my COVID vaccination. I need, you know, whatever it is. You just snap a picture of it, label it, tag it to who needs to have it, and then they have it populated in their information in the secured document storage. So my daughter that, for example, my daughter that just turned 18 was applying for colleges, but she's the first kid that hasn't had to ask us for anything, because since we've created the app, she has gone through high school and she is able to, she took a picture of all of her sports accolades or grade accolades or any type of recommendation letter or anything that she's had. She puts it in her resume builder, snaps a picture of it, tags Dad and I on it, and then we see that the copy's been put in there as a secure document. When she opens a secure document, let's just say you put a custody document or a DD-214 or whatever it is, when you put that document in there and tag it as a secure document, whoever opens that document that's been tagged on it has to have a 4-digit security PIN that they've created themselves, that is their private PIN. Mm-hmm. But when that document gets opened, you as the administrator gets a notification to say that document's been open. So I could put, I could put a birth certificate in there. My son would say, I need a copy of my birth certificate. Like, I need it now. And he could open it up. But when he opened it, I would get a notification that it has been opened. So I know whatever situation he needed it for, he's taken care of it because the document's been open. So, or even a custody document, you upload a custody document, the other parents need to see it, you and your husband needs to see it, but the child doesn't need to see it. So you don't tag the child, you just tag the adults on it. And then that way, when you're in that situation that every stepmom on the planet has been in, when the school says, are you sure it's your day? Because, you know, bio mom called and said it's not your day. So can we see your custody documents so that we know that we're releasing the child to the right parent? You can say, absolutely, pull the custody document up, show it to whomever needs to see the document. You can airdrop it or email it to that individual if you needed to, but you have it in your hand. And I've been in several circumstances where either the school or law enforcement or somebody needs to see that document. And it would have been handy 10 years ago to say, I absolutely have it in my hand. I actually carried a binder around with me with all of the appropriate places that would come up labeled and highlighted so that it was just easier for whatever situation I was in, I could flip to it.
Uh-huh.
But now I don't need to do that. And it's all in the app. So that was very important for my husband and I, because I don't know how many times I have had to call him being out or being in a situation with my daughters to say, I'm stuck. The police are now involved and I need you to, you know, stop what you're doing and go home and get the document or whatever it was. But now we've had countless parents say, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this, because I had the document right in my hand. I got my kid taken care of so much quicker because I had the documents, I had the records, I had everything that I needed to prove my position to be able to take care of my kids or my stepkids.
Mm-hmm,
so yeah. Secure document storage is great. And then we have a chat feature. So a chat feature is you can build whatever chat thread you want. And if you're not included in the chat thread, you don't see the chat thread, but we have built chat threads between my husband and I alone, like one child and both of us, and then, the girls together because they're primarily home, and us, and then one that's like a whole family chat so that you can go in there and say, this is what's for dinner. Everybody gets the notice. Can't say that you didn't get it because the timestamp is on it and you know that the kids know what's for dinner. So we just tried to look at it from the lens of creating a positive atmosphere for the children, but also building the children's confidence that all the parents know what's going on, if that makes sense. So making sure that everybody's on the same playing field, no matter what your custody is, but really trying to build the confidence in the child that didn't choose the divorce and didn't choose the custody agreement, because they don't choose any of that. They just get to live it.
Yeah. Communication's been a huge issue with us, or I should say for us, because my husband's ex does not communicate anything with us. So like we hear from a kid randomly while they're eating dinner. Oh yeah, I have soccer practice tomorrow. Oh, okay, well, thank you for letting me know. And then, you know, we have to text bio mom and ask, like, where is this practice? What time is this practice? Like, you know, all of that. She just doesn't tell us.
Right.
Despite, you know, we've got the group chat and all of that, but it's just constant. So.
Right. And what they're being enrolled in. So my suggestion for that would be to, so your children, what age are the children of the four from the second marriage? Wait, no, it's two from the second marriage.
Three from the second marriage.
Three from the second marriage. Okay. Three from the second marriage.
They are 16, 14, and 11.
Okay. 16, 14, 11. So do they all have phones?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. I thought you were going to end the phrase like that. So if you could turn it into a fortunate idea, what I think that my daughters actually had at one point, I've been asked by both of them at two different stages of their life, like, why do you have to involve her? Why do you, you know, that type of thing? Mm-hmm. Court ordered to 1 hour visitation supervised, and I was the supervisor. So bio mom would sit there for 4 minutes and then just get so irritated and say, you know what, I'm done with you, you can leave. And my daughters at the age that they were literally had to say, well, you know what? Our mom's going to make us sit here for another 56 minutes. So either utilize it or we'll just sit here, period, because she's not going to let us. I wasn't going to let them leave, because even though she couldn't see the benefit in it, then my children would eventually see the benefit, because whether it was 50 minutes later that she decided to say something and turn herself around, they were still there and she was still able to have that opportunity to get that hour with them. Mm-hmm. So my point being is that if you had your family on the app and you can actually toggle between two families. So if you had the first wife and her husband and you and your husband and that child, we're on one family, and you had a separate family of the other children and the biological mom that can be more difficult, but you have those three kids on there and you took that response at dinner, like, I have soccer practice tomorrow, and you went in the chat and said, hey, heard they have soccer practice, when and where is this practice? One, not only are you documenting it in that one space forever, if you had to go back to court, you're also you're going to go ahead and put that event, that soccer practice, on that kid's calendar, on that kid's color, and tag bio mom, even though mm-hmm. you're not the one that created the event. You're not the one that created the soccer practice, putting it on the calendar and telling the kid, thank you for telling me you had soccer. It was important enough for you to acknowledge it and tell us. So you obviously want us there, and we're going to be there. And we're also letting your mom know that we're going to be there, because she's tagged on the event too. So we're going to be there. And eventually, when you step out of the misery that the mother is still in and see that you're doing it for the benefit of the child, mom has nothing to do but join in. She could be miserable all she wants, but the point of the kid seeing, like, well, okay, so do you go every Wednesday? Is it every Wednesday at 6 o'clock? Great. Let's put it on as a repeating event. Dad and I will be there. Your brothers or sisters or whomever, we're going to, you know, we'll stop by. We want to be at your games. They'll continue to let you know, and they'll let you know earlier so that it's not the next day and you're trying to uproot, you know, six or seven other people to get to a practice. But if you start to show the consistency on the calendar and they start to see their own calendar build, they feel a sense of validity, like, you actually care what's going on. That's why they told you. So you have had to express some sense of wanting to be at the things that they do, or they would probably be hiding the soccer event from you, just like the biological mom is doing.
Right. Yeah. If they are not on our time, we still go to their events as long as we know about them.
Sure.
And we just moved last year, so now we have all the kids in the same school district. Mm. So when we initially started the school year, bio mom had listed my husband as a non-custodial parent.
Oh.
So we had to go in with their divorce decree, our marriage license, social security cards, birth certificates, not social security cards, just birth certificates, and our driver's licenses to prove that, you know, he was a custodial parent. And then, you know, we were able to get our email addresses on everything. And it's been great because now we get those. And, you know, we can be involved and we can plan, especially because, like, BioMom doesn't consider that I have other children with other events and lives.
Correct.
And so now, you know, we can plan all of these things. And it's funny because I think it was just a couple days ago that she sent us an email from one of the kids' band teachers. And I didn't say anything, you know, like, we already got the email, but that's the first time this entire school year she sent it to us. So one time, and it's May, we've got less than a month of school left, and we got one notification for one event for one kid.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I'm not, I mean, you know, you can't, they always say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But when they start to recognize that it is important for the child, then there's a sense of like, wow, if I don't communicate with the other side, the child is then not going to have trust in me. And so you have to continue to, I mean, you are, my husband has said it a million times, you got to take the high road. You got to take the high road. And so on these events, when I mean, I do this with my own family now, and now I haven't had to do, I did one more communication in April and that is it. And I have no other communications to do with biological mom, but up until this point, you know, you have to say thank you. She doesn't know that you got the email, but you just say thank you. That's it. Less said is better. And on the events, when you put the events on the calendar, and you're inviting her as an outside family member, and you tag her on something, if you were to get a birthday invitation that came home on your time, you snap a picture of it, you put it on that child's calendar, you still tag her on it, and now she's got a copy of the birthday party, the dance recital. If the kid brings home a piece of artwork where they're like, I want to keep this at my house, but I did want to show my mom, you're like, no problem. Snap a picture of it, label it, put it in there as a document, tag bio mom on it. Now she gets to see the piece of artwork as well. And really what you're saying to the kid is you're important to both of us. And they will soon reciprocate that you're taking the high road, I guess is the bottom line. You're taking the high road. And really, what does it hurt? And I'm only saying this out of complete, I don't know, everybody hates to admit failure, but I am only saying this as testimony out of my complete failure. My girls were super young, so they were maybe like 5 and 8, but they made these coffee mugs and I wanted them. I'm a big coffee drinker. They were adorable. I wanted them. I call them now my $2,000 coffee mugs because I wanted them. So I told my attorney, I told our attorney, I want those coffee mugs. I don't care what it takes. I want the coffee mugs. It's got the girls' artwork all over it. Every other piece had been taken. Even if it was on our day and we purchased the piece of work that our kids were going to do, she would go to the school and take it before the kids were released so that it wouldn't come home. And so I don't know. I was at that point. I had it and I was like, what's another $2,000?
I want my freaking coffee mug.
Yeah, exactly. So I fought for them and they got ordered and they cost me $2,000 and I have them. I have them on my coffee shelf. They're on the top shelf. I'm like, don't anybody touch those coffee mugs or I'll break your finger. It's like, I wanted those mugs. And so when I speak to other parents or moms or, you know, I don't want people to make those same mistakes, right? Like eventually I'm going to die and those coffee mugs are going who knows where, or, you know, I'm going to die and my kids are going to donate them not knowing what I paid for those stupid coffee mugs, but I wanted them. They were my daughters and I wanted them. And that was at the time I saw it as a very valid argument, but now in retrospect, the actual moments that I've gotten to spend with my daughters, I could have spent that $2,000 somewhere else. But again, I wouldn't be able to have this as an example for you if I didn't live through it myself. So we added that feature that, you know, we encourage parents to, even if it's not your day, to snap a picture of the artwork, send it, tag the other parent. You don't even have to say anything because they will get a notification, just like a text notification on their phone, to say this has been uploaded and it says that it's Tammy's artwork from today. And then you have a copy of it. You don't have to text them and say, hey, I sent you some artwork, or, you know, possibly say something that you shouldn't say. They get a notification. If they want to look at it, great. If not, the child has a copy of the piece of artwork as well. And then you don't have to keep 9 million pieces of, you know, second grade artwork on your desk. So it's a benefit for everybody, but really it's just telling the child that it's worthy. Your work today is worthy enough that I'm sharing it with the other household because I want them to enjoy what you have done as well. So again, it's just taking the high road so that your kids can see down the road, not only that you parented well, but you're teaching them to parent well, because the divorce rate is 54% in America, because we give up pretty easy. And then the divorce rate for second marriages is astronomically higher. It's about 72% for second marriages. So thinking that if you have six children, you know that 3.5 of them are probably going to end up divorced. And so you want to be able to teach them, you know, which is a staggering statistic. But if you teach them how to manage their emotions and parent properly, whether they're in just a biological family or they do move on to a blended family in some sense, that you teach them how to be the best parents they can be and not get carried away in the situation that they're in.
Yes. Yeah. I pride myself in carrying myself gracefully, even through, you know, the worst things that have been said to me. And yes. I do think that the kids recognize it, especially because, you know, there was an incident where I looked, or, you know, told me that. And I said, you know, like, that's not right. It doesn't make you better than anybody else, you know, by making fun. It was about breast size. You know, your breast size doesn't make you a better person.
Right.
And, you know, telling it to her that way, instead of saying like, your mom's crappy for talking like that, you know.
Right. Right.
Instead, you know, we just try and educate them and teach them the right way to handle certain situations without even really a mention of her. And I guess, you know, same goes for my ex, because he said some not so nice things either. But it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things where I wish something like the Family Core app would be required for every blended family to use upon divorce, like if they have kids.
I completely agree. Not from a financial standpoint, because my husband and I agreed this isn't to get us into a Fortune 500 company at all. We enjoy what we, I mean, we met in the OR. We enjoy what we do. He's very good at what he does. I liked what I did. We were happy where we were at. But when God tells you you're going to go out and do something because he has led us through that, and then he's asking us to do that, I'm not going to shy away from that by any far means. But I've had an attorney in Boston call and say, quite irritated, I don't know who you are. I don't know what your app is about. Tell me about it, because the judge just ordered my client to use it. So, and that was the first time I was like, okay, well, let me back up the bus here. Why don't we just, you know, set up a call and go through it? But it, to know that, from our perspective, we wanted to teach harmonious parenting, whether you're blended or busy or single parenting or foster parenting, whatever it is. We actually found out people that didn't even have kids had their pets on it, because they are breeding horses or breeding dogs or whatever, and they're trying to keep everything, the shot records and, you know, lineage and everything organized and you're doing that with children, but they're doing it with pets. And so we were like, okay, well, we didn't anticipate that, but okay. And then we actually, in making this app, our law team, the paralegal called me and she said, I have a question. She's like, is there any reason why I can't care for my aging parents? Both of her parents were ill with dementia. And she said, I can't keep up on, do you have the current, you know, CT scan and the blood pressure? What medication are they on? When were they born? Where's their insurance card? She's like, would you have a problem if I got an account and cared for my aging parents on it? And I'm like, absolutely not. It completely makes sense, right? So the facets of people that were using it, I was blown away by. But our main intention was, we thought we were fixing the blended family problem, right? We thought, okay, this is going to be great because it's going to minimize hostile communication between parents that are angry. It's going to make the kid feel inclusive at both homes, that it was going to solve all these problems. But when we ran the prototype, the families that were using it the most were busy nuclear families, which I didn't anticipate. But some of those families are now divorced families, and they're actually appreciative that they started the log on the child when they did, because now they're separated, but they know the child just as well. So there's a profile feature in there, and this would help you guys too, since the bio mom doesn't communicate as well. There's a profile on each child that you can set the permissions to, so that you have access to it and she has access to it. So when a child's shoe size changes, or when you find out they don't like asparagus, or you know, whatever it is, what they want for Christmas, what they want for their birthday, those types of things, you can put it in their personal profile and keep that current. And there's important stuff in there like blood type and, you know, those types of things when you're in an emergency. But mm-hmm. for the lighter things in life, while those things are changing and progressing through the child's life, you just update the shoe size or the dress size or the pant size or whatever it is. You're not having to communicate that with the other parent, but you did because you made an update to that child's profile. So the next time you're shopping, which I'm sure you probably do 95% of the shopping at your home, you don't have to reach out to Bio Mom and say, you know, I'm here and these shoes are really cute, and I think that, you know, she would really like them. What size? What's her current shoe size? Because you have it, and that communication has now been taken away. So you don't, you know, something that can turn into an argument as simple as shoe size is now eliminated. So I agree with you. I would agree with you. The benefits to me as a mom trying to stay organized and run multiple children with multiple parents and all the dialogue that comes along with it, to have that minimized, is the benefit is exponential, in my opinion. So it's just one of those things you're going to have to get on and try it and see if it works for you. It's worked for us. We work with both. We work with XO Marriage and did like a sponsorship through them so that we could service married couples, because a lot of those are married or remarried. And then we also try and support Blended Kingdom Families, which is they service all blended families. It's a blended family ministry. We've worked through the ABA law, the law firms and their conferences, just with attorneys, so that they can, when they get clients, they can say, you really need to start on this app now, even though we haven't come to a resolution, but let's start parenting at a higher level for the benefit of the child. And so, and then of course through military families. So we're trying to make sure that really the bottom line is, no matter what type of family you're in, that you're just doing it for the betterment of how your family functions, no matter what that looks like to you.
Right. Is there a cost for the app?
There is. So we're a subscription-based model, and it's $3.99. As the administrator, you sign on and pay that fee, and it's once a month. And you can put up to 9 other members on there. So really it includes 10 people for $3.99. And I always joke with my mother friends. They're like, how are you so organized? I'm like, I skip Starbucks one day out of the month and I pay to keep my family organized. So for less than a latte,
Some people pay for housekeepers. You pay for an app.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Instead of $300, I pay $3 and I keep my entire family and all the step parents involved organized. So, yeah. So up to 9 members plus the administrator. And that's really, we didn't reinvent the wheel. We just put everything for parenting in one place. So locating your kids, chatting with your kids, keeping their secure documents, and their calendar all in one place is fantastic. And my husband, actually, he looks like a rock star dad anyways, but to make it even better, and this is a benefit, I'm not sure what personality type your husband is, but my husband gets a notification at midnight. So when he gets up and has his coffee in the morning and everybody's still asleep, he's gets a bullet point notification in an email of what's going on that day with each person that has something on the calendar and what's going on the next day. So my kids will get up and he'll be like, hey, got a spelling test today. Do you want to go over those words while we're sitting at breakfast? Or he'll be like, you know, hey, I see that you work from 6:30 to 2 today. I'm on my way out at 6. Do you want to ride? And my kids are like, man, dad is so on top of it. And I'm like, oh,
He sure is.
He's so super duper.
Oh, yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. So it's kind of a lifesaver all the way around, right? And I mean, we have to give credit to the husbands. Yeah, they go out of the house and work. We're just kind of turning the wheel at home. But to give them any advantage to make them feel included and part of what's going on, not only does it make them better husbands and fathers, it makes the kid feel like they're worth $1 million, right? Mm-hmm. So, he's intrusive. He's intrusive to our daughters that, like, one of them goes to college about 30 minutes away, but he has to pass by her school. And so he'll pull up her calendar and be like, ooh, I know she's done with class right now. Do you think she'll want to go to lunch with me? And I'm like, I don't, you know, okay, text her. But, you know, it sounds, a lot of people are like, wow, people that interview us that don't have children are like, don't your kids feel like you're spying on them? And I don't think if you asked any of my 5 children, if, you know, they said, wow, your parents are really intrusive on your calendar and your location or your chat or whatever, don't you think your parents are spying on you? None of my kids would say yes. I honestly don't think they would. They just see it as, okay, well, my parents actually love me and care where I'm at and what I'm doing and what I'm involved in. And, you know, they just want to be part of it. I don't think that children, by knowing what's going on with them, you know, everybody's surprised when something bad happens with a kid. And it's usually a parent that says, well, I didn't know. I had no idea, you know? So I think just raising kids that are in a closer knit type of community is just better. And that community starts under your roof.
Yeah, I agree very much.
Yeah, so.
Well, thank you so much, Ginger, for coming on. Do you want to share any of your, you know, website, socials, any of that before I let you go?
Sure. So I'll tell you I'll tell your audience how we met. We met through Instagram, and I was loving her feed, and so I reached out to her. You can find us both on Instagram, and you're at the Step Up Mom, right?
Trade Up Stepmom.
Trade Up Stepmom. Trade Up Stepmom. Okay. And we're at The Family Core. So it's just the name of the app, The Family Core. And then you can find us and subscribe to the app at www.thefamilycore.com. And that's where you can start your subscription. There's a free 7-day trial. And then you'll go on to your regular subscription from there. And then you'll get a monthly reminder for that as well. So it's a monthly fee, and you can cancel anytime if it doesn't work for your lifestyle. But I think if you guys give it a try, you'll find out that it works in a way. It works in ways that you would be surprised for the benefit of your family.
Awesome. Thank you again so much, Ginger. It was great to spend the day with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it too. You guys be well. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.